And now, live from Level 5 Productions on the island of Milleronia, it's the Larry Miller Show! Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. America, and everyone who's always wanted to spend July 4th at a barbecue. Hi, folks, and welcome back to the Larry Miller Show. I'm Larry Miller, but in a way, aren't we all? And boy, oh boy, is it a gorgeous day, even more beautiful than usual, because it is July 4th. And the Colonel and I are recording here our show on July 4th. And then afterwards, I'm going to do something special that I'm also going to tell you about. But it means a lot, folks. And of course, not just the music. Well, as always, this day should mean a lot to all of us. And of course, it is made better by the music. And that's the Robert Shaw Orchestra and the Gladys Zubisco Dancers, featuring boy tenor Mike Lucking, asking the musical question, is there really no such thing as a stupid question? Wow. First of all, good question, Mike. That's no kidding. That's a pretty good question. The Colonel and I, when we read that, the Colonel and I said, just looked at each other and said, "Pooh, boy, you got me. Is there no such thing as a stupid question? God saying to Adam and Eve, who ate that apple? Gee, I don't know. Maybe it was the other naked couple in the next garden. I mean, shouldn't you know already? You're God. Don't you know everything? So is there no, we thought about it, is there a stupid question? And you know what, Mike? The Colonel and I are stumped. Maybe there is no such thing as a stupid question. And, well, that would be neat to find out. Is there no such thing as a stupid question? Mike, I don't know. And if you or folks, everyone out there, if you can think of one, please send it to us. Send it to us on our website. I'll tell you about that later, as you know, in just a minute. But, yeah, if you can think of a stupid question, whether it's in history or anything else, well, send it along. And we'll tell everyone, including Mike. Good question, Mike. And, well, there's a reason that I said to the Robert Shaw Orchestra and the Gladys Zubisco Dancers. But that also is something you're just going to have to wait 2.5 minutes for. But I think it's a pretty good reason. And by the Larry Miller Store. That's right, the Larry Miller Store. And it's my favorite store in America. And why not? It's my store. I'm Larry Miller. And wouldn't you feel the same way if it was you? But it is. It's a terrific store, folks. And you can get there, by the way, on our website. You can go there all sorts of different ways, as usual, on your laptop, on your iPhone, on any phone you have. But you know what? Let us take you there. That's our pleasure to do. What you do is you go to our website, which is LarryMillerPodcast.com. Who's on the mountain? Tom Mix. Boy, that last pop there really, I almost ducked, you know, but even here in the studio, you twang, ooh, geez, that would be fast. That thing would come springing at you. And, but do that, folks. Go to our website because we have a banner that'll take you to the Larry Miller Store. And it's great, whether it's a holiday like July 4th or any time of the year. You know what? Choose from our 3 different t-shirt designs. And they come, by the way, they're available for gentlemen, ladies, or even us. And you know what? Even doggies. We have some for doggy sizes. And my beloved Ozzy here is in the studio with us, as always. He's such a good boy, too. He always lays himself right down on the floor there. And you can't, you know what? You can't throw him. You can't shake him. He likes being here. And so do we. And so we have three different T-shirt designs. One says LMDS, that's the Larry Miller Drinking Society. And those are fun to have. And Keep Calm and Larry On. That's our second design. And the third one, I Survived Volcano Number 2 and all I got was this lousy T-shirt. So go to the Larry Miller store, get something nice for you, a loved one, a friend, or a doggie. And it means a lot to us, and I think it'll mean a lot to you. And that brings me to my favorite part of the show, the joke of the week. And also, just kind of, it is my favorite thing to do. I love to pass on a good joke. And, well, you know what? I hope you love to hear it. And you should pass it on. That's what I always say every week. I say, you know what? If you like this, tell a friend or a loved one or a family member, and keeps a good joke alive. And this is a pretty good one. The Colonel and I both like this. A fellow walks into a pet store, and he says to the owner, "You know, I want to buy a pet, but I thought maybe something different, not just regular things. And do you have anything like that? Just a little offbeat, a little different." And the pet store owner just says to him, "You know what? It's funny you walked in here and asked that because I really think I do." And he says, "Come here, follow me." He takes him around behind the counter, and he takes out, well, an empty big box that used to have matchsticks in it. And the owner opens the box of matches, and it turns out to be, well, it's the bed and the home of a centipede. And the fellow looks at it and says, what? That? And then the owner said, "That's a centipede, yes. And plus, it's very special because it's the world's only talking centipede. And I think that might be just what you're looking for." And the guy says, "I'll tell you what, that might just fit the bill there. And how much is it?" And he says, "It's $50. And the fellow says, "You know what? For $50, I'll take him. Thanks." And he does that. He closes the box gently, and he pays the $50 and goes out and takes it home. And he's happy. He's excited. He opens it up gently, and sure enough, there's his new centipede pet in there. And he looks down at him, and he says, "Well, hello, Mr. Centipede. I think you're going to be happy here with me, and I'll be happy here with you. Hey, here's an idea. How about you and I go down to the corner bar and get a beer to celebrate?" And the centipede doesn't say anything. Just nothing. No response. And the guy says to himself, "Well, all right. Maybe he's saying the trip down here maybe just confused him a little, or he's doesn't know quite where he is, or he's not used to the place. You know what? I'll ask him later." And that's fine. So he closes up the box, and he walks out, and he goes and gets himself a beer, and he comes back a little later, and he opens the box up again and says, "Hello, Mr. Centipede. Hello again. And I'm just wondering, how about you and I go down to the bar for a quick one, get ourselves a beer?" And again, centipede, nothing, doesn't say a word. And the guy, well, he closes the box again. And, okay, and he takes a stroll out. It's a nice early evening. And he goes back down to the bar, and he gets another beer, and he comes back. And now he says, opens the box again and says, "Hi, Mr. Centipede. I'm just wondering, I'm wondering again that how'd you like to come with me and go down to the local bar and we'll get ourselves a beer?" And now the centipede says, "You jerk, I heard you the first time. I'm still putting on my shoes." And the colonel and I got a good laugh out of that "Oh, really? Sure, that makes sense. I didn't think of that. He's a centipede. So putting on his shoes would take quite a while. And guess he would like a beer at the local bar, but you got to give him a chance. They're not fast anyway, and he's got 100 legs and feet. Takes a while. But that was pretty good. We liked that, and I hope you did too. And again, pass it on. If you like it, tell your friends and family. And that brings me to my second favorite part of the show, the Poetry Corner. I love that string quartet, and I think that fellow who'd been going to the local bar too often maybe had a cough like that. That's how he got it. But this is a good poem, folks, and it's called Old Ironsides by Oliver Wendell Holmes. And a great medical man. He was a lawyer, and also, he was not the Oliver Wendell Holmes you may be thinking of, by the way, the great jurist. And he was his father. So the great jurist, we all know, became Supreme Court Justice and was very famous and well-known. And that was Oliver Wendell Holmes, Jr. This is his father, who lived from 1809 to 1894 and was quite a medical man. And in fact, the colonel was telling me that Oliver Wendell Holmes, Sr., discovered that women who've just given birth sometimes get very terrible diseases, and they don't get out of them, and sometimes they die from them. And he was the first one to say, you know what? It could be that these are infectious diseases, and the doctor who delivers the baby actually takes it to other women who were giving birth without knowing it, and he may give it to them. And at the time, well, this is in the 19th century, that was thought of to be crazy. You know, that people, just all the other medical people just said, well, he's nuts. But it turns out he was right. In any case, he was right with this poem, too. It's called Old Ironsides. I tear her tattered ensign down. Long has it waved on high, and many an eye has danced to see that banner in the sky. Beneath it rung the battle shout, and burst the cannon's roar. The meteor of the ocean air shall sweep the clouds no more. Her deck, once red with heroes' blood, where knelt the vanquished foe, when winds were hurrying o'er the flood and waves were white below, no more shall feel the victor's tread or know the conquered knee. The harpies of the shore shall pluck the eagle of the sea. Oh, better that her shattered hulk should sink beneath the wave. Her thunders shook the mighty deep, and there should be her grave. Nailed to the mast her holy flag, set every threadbare sail, and give her to the gods of storms, the lightning and the gale. Isn't that a wonderful poem, folks? And, by the way, it turns out, Old Ironsides, the Constitution, the real one, was saved and repaired because of this poem. People thought so much of it when Oliver Wendell Holmes wrote it that it really created a movement to save that ship. And by the way, it is still not, it is not only saved, it has not only been, well, repaired and repaired again, but it is still an active ship in our Navy and the oldest ship by far in all the world that is still an active ship on the list of all the, well, all the ships we have, well, battleships, carriers, everything we have. And I've been on it several times. I used to go, it's harbored in Boston. And every time I used to go to work in Boston, whether as a comedian or with a part in something in a movie, that, well, I always went to see the Constitution. It's still not just sitting there, but it's still fully manned with sailors and with a commanding officer. And I loved being on it every time. In fact, now I'd like to be on it again. If you're in the Boston area, go see the Constitution, Old Ironsides, which was named, by the way, by a British sailor in battle. We were fighting the Brits, and this sailor looked at the Constitution and said, Oh, look at that ship. Look at her. Our cannonballs bounce off her as if she were made of iron. And that was the truth anyway. But that got all the way off that ship and around the world and all throughout our Navy. She's old Ironsides and will be forever. Thank you to Oliver Wendell Holmes. And you know what? For the poem that was influential in saving and preserving the USS Constitution. And that brings me to my third favorite part of the show. The Magic Movie Moment. This is a wonderful movie, and it was out just a few years ago. Lincoln, directed by Steven Spielberg, starring Daniel Day-Lewis, Sally Field, James Spader, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, David Strathern, Tommy Lee Jones, Hal Holbrook, and so many others. What a wonderful cast, and what a good movie. Oh, Steven Spielberg, who has done, as you know, so many wonderful things. But he sure did on this one. And the Colonel and I were both saying, Daniel Day-Lewis really looked like Lincoln in this. And not just physically, not just with a hat on and a black coat, but he, God bless him, he's a great actor. And he really felt like Abraham Lincoln. And how well written that movie is, that it shows you what this man, this great president, the 16th president of the United States, went through in those times. Lord, the Civil War. And that essentially was the beginning of his presidency. And, of course, you know how it ended. And we all do. But that is, in effect, the magic movie moment for me for today. Because Colonel and I were saying, all historic movies, like Titanic, for instance, you know it's not going to end well, but you're still invested in it. You're still, in fact, gripped by it. And there are so many things, it doesn't matter. You're not giving anything away to know how it ends. If you don't know how it ends, well, you're living in a cave. But this one also, good Lord, what a story, what a moment. For Abraham Lincoln and for everyone in that movie and the story they tell. And the magic movie moment for me is that it's the end of the movie. And after he's won the battle in Congress and they passed what they wanted. And we know that, well, the Confederacy is defeated. And they surrender at Appomattox Courthouse. And we know what happens. And then at the very end of the movie, the president is, well, he's talking to some of his staff. He says, well, I must go. My wife is going to be waiting for me there. I'm going to the theater tonight. And we know, he says, he's going to Ford's Theater. And he's going to see that play. It was a hit play at the time, a British play, in fact, about called Our American Cousins, or Cousin, if I remember correctly. And, well, folks, to see that great actor Tommy Lee Jones show that part and the way it's directed and the way it's blocked, where he starts down the hallway to the foyer in the White House. And he's going out to get in his carriage. And, well, he leaves his gloves there, and we've already heard about that in the movie. But it's very moving. They don't show him getting shot. And they don't show him at the theater. And that was so smart to me. Much better that way. Rather than really showing us, hitting us over the head, as it were. But to show him walking down in that gait he practiced, that great actor, as Abraham Lincoln, getting further and further away. And one of the folks who works in the White House there, one of the servants, watches, who's known him many years, and watches him walk, and we watch him walk. And it's very moving. A great movie anyway, folks. Lincoln, with a great cast and directed by Steven Spielberg. And that's a magic movie moment of seeing him at the end walk to the end of his life, not just the end of our movie. And it was, well, it was wonderful to think about, because that's part of what I wanted to talk about today. Well, it is the 4th of July today. What do we do on the 4th of July? What do we do traditionally? What do Americans do traditionally on the 4th of July? Well, barbecue, maybe. We watch a good movie, get together with friends. These are all fine things to do. But, for instance, a good friend of mine, and my wife's also, used to throw a party at his house, and his wife, Maggie, boy, she's great. It's a wonderful couple, and those were always really nice events. He's a comedy writer, too, and all the guests were comics and writers, and we were all friends, and we're happy to see them. So we'd all, it's like a good party at a friend's house. They always put out a great spread of food, but we all brought, of course, beer and wine and food and beer, and have I mentioned beer? But I mean, we always did, and they always had a lot there. But and eventually, we hadn't been there in a while now, because my wife and I realized it wasn't the best place to bring our kids as they were getting older, since a bunch of the guests would also bring, well, you know, things to roll and smoke. And that's fine with me. Whatever my friends want to do, I don't care. But, you know, once you're, not my style, but I mean, once your kids start hitting the age, you know, they get to be 5, 6, 7. I didn't think it was the best thing for them to be around. I don't know about you, but that good party, Dad. Your friends are great. Hey, what was that smell all over the place? Kids, hey, let me get back to telling you about the father of our country. Never mind him. Why are all your friends jumping in the pool with their clothes on? And you know what, though? I love those folks. I'd like to see them again, come to think of it. And I don't care what they do to get hungry. And it reminded me, by the way, that when I was a kid, my parents would always take me and my sister down to Fireman's Field every year on the 4th of July, after dinner, to watch the fireworks. And these were big fireworks. I mean, they were small community on Long Island, but, I mean, it's called Fireman's Field. It was a great football field. Used to go to a lot of games there. And, well, it was wonderful. So that my parents took us down there, and they could see some of their friends. We could see some of ours, and then we'd all, you know, just be there in little packs and watch the fireworks. And it's something you don't know about, really, watching. It's just fellas who light them up. I mean, they send them off there. You don't realize. You think it's more magical and official somehow, but it's not. It's a guy with a match. But, I mean, that's fine. But we'd all watch them, and they'd go up. It was about 15, 20 minutes long. And then we'd all go home and sleep in the car on the way home. That's a nice memory, too. By the way, I never got fireworks. I don't know about you. I don't mean purchase them, but I never quite understood fireworks. They never got me in the way that, well, people love them. And it's the same today. We can take the kids to see them, but after 10 or 15 minutes of explosions, I don't know about you, but the only thought I have is, okay, well, soon this will be over. I'm not afraid of them. I just don't quite get them. And once on the 4th, I was already a comic, so I was a grown-up. As grown-up as we ever get, I guess, as comics get. But it was going to be on the, it was on the 4th of July, and I invited a few other comics, and we were all living and working in New York, and I invited a few of the fellas to come out to Long Island with me. Because on the 4th of July, every year, at the Sessions house, Mr. Sashin, who was our scoutmaster, by the way, come to think of it, great guy. I really always liked him. And the Riccios would come over, and a few other fathers, and we'd go to the Sessions, because Leo and Elaine always threw a good barbecue. And then afterwards, they shoot off fireworks. And, again, they still didn't mean a lot to me, but I told a couple of the other comics, and Seinfeld loves fireworks, so he came with me. And it wasn't anything special. When you realize, again, they lit firecrackers and cherry bombs and bottle rockets in their driveway between the side of the house and the fence. And the stuff would, you know, go all over the place, shoot this way and that, and hit you. We would get hit. They weren't trying to, but, you know, bottle rockets can really fly. And that's one of the reasons my parents didn't come, because these things fly all over. And having a long belt of firecrackers land on your shoulder and blow your ears off never really appealed to them. But no one ever got hurt that way. But, you know, you get nicked and, things would swell up for a couple of days. And you know, you'd have that ringing in your ear because, well, cherry bomb just went off on you. So we went there, and there's always good memories, and I hope you have a few. But you know something, folks? It dawned on me this year, more than any other year, on the 4th of July, we almost never do what I think may be the best thing in the world to do. I used to take with my wife, we used to take our kids when they were smaller, and there's a national military cemetery near us, about 15-20 minutes away, and it's very big, and the Organization of Veterans always puts a flag on every grave, and there are a lot of them, and these are all men who died in battle. And we used to take our kids, and well, we weren't looking for family or friends there, but although ours always served, but they weren't there, and they didn't die in battle, and we would randomly pick graves and walk up to them and look at the name and the dates and where they were from and speak to them. I would say something and thank them and say the right things. I hope you're okay, and hope you're moving on, and that you have people who still love you. And then we'd say a little prayer. And, you know, if you go to, 10 or 12 or 15 graves, and it's really very moving, and it's a good thing to do. And my wife and I and our kids always thought that, and I still do. As I said, it's not family or loved ones we're seeing, but it's even better somehow to pick American soldiers and stand there and say something nice and say a prayer. And that's what I'm going to do today. After our show, I'm going to get our younger son from upstairs. We're still on the mainland now. We're not on Milleronia today. And I'm going to get him and make him a nice little breakfast, the way I like to do. And my wife is busy. She can't go with us today. And Colonel Jeff has other shows to produce. He can't go with us today. But my son and I will go there, and we will park, and we will walk among the gravestones, and we will speak to some of the soldiers there. And if you ever think of things to do, if you don't mind, I'd like to recommend that to you. I don't know if you've ever done that. Wherever you live, it doesn't matter, anywhere in our country or other countries or the world, but especially in an American cemetery for the military like that. Go there, and I'll tell you what, it's a 4th of July you'll never forget. So that much I know. And I'll tell you, and maybe show you a phone picture or two next week. But I know how good that is to do, and I know how good it's going to be today. And you know and I know the same things. Homer is Homer, and Pluto is a planet. So remember, folks, as always, if you walked out of bed today and had a job to go to and a home to come back to and someone there who cares about you, folks, the game's over and you've won. Be well and do something really important today. And you know what? We'll see you next time.